The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap and fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refugee to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a dry winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. A reading from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I also ask my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so that the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It's funny how things work out sometimes. After I already knew I was preaching on this text, I happened to get a last-minute invitation to a wedding. Not just second wave of invites invitation, a 3 days before the wedding invitation, a somebody canceled at the last minute and there was no way to get a refund on her dinner kind of invitation. But luckily not quite a go out into the streets and invite anyone you find kind of invitation. But even though I knew I was not one of the first invited, I was still so honored and excited to see two of my friends pledge their love for each other in front of friends and family on a beautiful fall day. And so knowing that this sermon was coming up, I tried to see how that ceremony, that wedding, that banquet in particular, could remind me of the kingdom of heaven. And I could see glimpses of it as two people brought friends and family together who at one point were strangers, but by the end of the night were all related in joy as we celebrated love all together. I could see signs of abundance, in abundant joy, abundant food, abundant laughter. I began to see a little foretaste of this feast that we are all invited to. And so it was a little bit of a shock, again, going from this joyful, beautiful fall day back into our violent, anxiety-inducing text that is our gospel today, where those who are first invited are so opposed to this wedding that not only do they refuse to come, they literally kill the messengers, where the father of the groom becomes so enraged that he takes a break from party planning for open warfare as he burns a city to the ground. We eventually see a little bit of the kingdom of heaven as all are invited to this feast, but everybody better hope that they left their house that morning in their best wedding robe, because someone who is invited in off the street gets kicked out for not adhering to the dress code. It begins to sound a little bit like join or die kind of a vibe, like the kingdom of heaven is a pirate ship or something, where if you don't follow in exactly the right way, you're going to have to walk the plank. This is not the kingdom of heaven that I know and love and yearn for. What is happening? And I think we can see little glimpses of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus proclaims and talks about and invites us to. But there's a little bit of baggage from Matthew and his community that obscures it. Matthew and his early Christian community are continuing to be persecuted by Jewish authorities. And some of that is coming out in this text. Those that Jesus first brought his message to, the people of Galilee and Judea, the Israelites, they have refused this wedding invitation. The authorities in particular, many Jews have joined Jesus' movement, but the authorities in particular have said no emphatically by getting Rome to execute Jesus. And now they continue to mistreat and kill these messengers of the early gospel. And so in the year 70, when Rome burns Jerusalem to the ground, Matthew sees a connection and begins to build this allegory. We see, again, the kingdom of heaven as all are invited. But then there's a little bit of anti-Semitism creeping in a little bit as those Gentiles see themselves as the true receivers of the invitation. But Matthew's trying to get at just a little bit. We should not be too proud of being Gentile believers. It's not enough to just show up. You have to dress up as well. The kingdom of heaven is participatory. To come clothed in the cloth of Christ. Matthew is trying to encourage greater participation, to those who would like to be part of this kingdom of heaven. And we see the kingdom shining through in this parable, in the ways that good and bad, all, everyone, people in from the streets are invited to this amazing feast, this abundant joy, in the ways that this invitation comes to everyone. In this feast, God's abundance, we continue to see this kingdom of heaven. But I also think that as much as Matthew wants to say, don't say no, don't miss out, be part of this kingdom of heaven, the way that God is working in this world, we should make clear that this invitation doesn't just come once or twice, that a refusal to join in this wedding banquet will not be met with violence. I know, because I have said no to the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. When I'm walking down the street and someone asks for money or for food, and I think not of God's abundance, but my own scarcity, I say no. When people invite me to work for justice or to serve others, and I think not of God's priorities, but my own priorities, I say no. I say no so often, over and over, by the choices I make and the ways I spend my money and the ways I live my life. And yet, this feast is still happening. This banquet is still continuing, no matter how many times the honored guests say no. No matter how many times we refuse, this kingdom of heaven is still breaking into our world. The powers and principalities of this world cannot stop this party as God's kingdom of heaven continues to be manifest here and now. And the more that we believe in this kingdom of heaven and act like it is there, the more visible it is to everyone else. At LSTC, my seminary, my first 2 years, I was part of a group called Seminarians for Justice, which unsurprisingly is a group of seminarians working for justice, whether that's through community organizing or direct service or advocacy. What started out as a small group at one school has now become a powerful coalition across the city of Chicago. But the thing that I love most about this group is the ability to cast a vision. So often we just see what is and know what is possible. Where we live in a world of scarcity and competition, we just see the world as it is. But the Seminarians for Justice can see the world as it could be, the world as it should be, a world where there's enough for everyone, a world where all of creation is being restored and flourishing, a world of peace and justice and reconciliation, a world that seems naive and impossible. And yet, as we gather to commit ourselves to this work that will never be completed, in that work itself, I begin to see the kingdom of heaven being more solid, more present, more real. When we believe that peace is possible in our world here and now, around the globe, in our neighborhoods, in our hearts, and we live into that peace, it becomes more manifest for others to see as well. When we think of God's abundant life and the ways that God provides for all, and we spend our money like it's not ours, then we see the promised feast of plenty coming into this world. When we remember that God loves us and our enemies, everyone in the world, and we hold on to that love so tightly that it squeezes out through our fingers and into the entire world, then God's love shines even more brightly in this dark world. This feast is here, and every day, every week, we get another fresh, last-minute invitation. No matter how many times we've said no in the past, or we will say no in the future, there it is again, fresh for us, for everyone, the good and the bad, the saints and the sinners, all welcome to this amazing table, this heavenly feast, this great banquet, this kingdom of God. Thanks be to God.
open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. You rejoice in your church, gracious God. Welcome your children to the table you have prepared, and send us forth to share the saving mercy we meet in Jesus Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You rejoice in your good creation. Provide moisture for parched places, wind and sun for flooded lands, and shelter and sustenance for creatures of every kind. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You rejoice in the people and places of the world. We pray for nations who cannot sit at table together, for leaders distracted by anxiety and fear, and for refugees unwelcomed in their homelands. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You bring peace that surpasses understanding. We pray for all who cannot worship with us this day, those who are homebound, hospitalized, imprisoned, or working. Comfort their hearts and ours with your healing presence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You rejoice in this congregation. We pray for its ministries of hospitality, for ushers, greeters, and all who welcome guests in this place. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You promise an eternal feast. We give thanks for the saints of every time and place. Hold us in communion with them until all are united at your heavenly banquet. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. And once you've had a chance to pass the peace, you may be seated. And congratulations on making it through the monsoons of yesterday. And welcome into this dry place. We are so glad to have you here on this Sunday. Please know that wherever you are on your spiritual or religious journey, you are welcome here in this place. And as a sign of our welcome to this abundant feast, as we look forward with great anticipation to the feast that is to come, all are welcome at this table. And as a sign of our welcome, I like to remind folks that our table of communion is Christ's table, not my table, not Vicar Bridget's table, not even Wicker Park Lutheran Church's table. And at Christ's table, all are welcome. To make it even a more inviting place, I just want to let you know that all of our bread is both gluten-free and vegan, and we have both wine and grape juice available for you as well. If you haven't been with us for about a month now, then you'll realize that our communion procedures have changed. So make sure to get a chance to check that out in your bulletin so you can see that continuous process that we have. We still have the little cups available for you if you would like, or the common cup. And today, to celebrate that feast, I have a last-minute invitation to extend to any of our young ones who are here today. After we get the table set, before we begin the communion liturgy, I'm going to invite you to come forward and come up and close and kind of see what's going on at the table. Stand around the table nice and close today. That includes parents if you have little kids and you want to bring them up as well. We invite you to come to this feasting table as we begin today's communion liturgy. So I'll let you know when the time is right for that. After service today, we are beginning our pilot project that started last Sunday with a second Sunday social and continues today with a third Sunday teaching. So what will happen is immediately after service, we'll get through our receiving line. There'll be a few little snacks next door, but you'll walk into the fellowship hall and you'll see that it's set up completely different than normal because it's set up to jump right into our time of teaching. Today, we're going to focus more on this hospitality that we've already seen in our scripture reading for today, and we're going to narrow in on some other stories of what really hospitality looks like as Christians and how we might extend that hospitality to those who are visitors, those who are strangers. It might be as an usher or a greeter, or it might just be as a member in this congregation. So join us after service. I guarantee that you will be home and out of here by, well, not home. I can't guarantee that. I can guarantee that you'll be out of here by 12:30. It's a 50-minute teaching time, and so we're going to be really strict about that on the third Sunday teachings. So this is an opportunity for you to kind of engage Scripture in a deeper level. So join us after service so that we can jump into that, and then we're also going to talk a bit more about if you want to live out that hospitality as an usher or a greeter, we're going to do a very quick usher and greeter training so you can get familiar with what that looks like here at the church. I also want to note that 2 weeks from today is Homecoming Sunday, which is also our celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. So it's going to be a big blowout service. It's going to be our annual picture. It is a potluck meal, so bring a dish to share to that. And you also can wear red because we're going to paint the church red. If you want to help us do that through, and not literally paint it, a few people's eyebrows go, oh, we're not literally painting it red. But we're going to really just fill the whole space with the color of red. And one of the ways to do that is through the flowers that we have. So we have flower sponsorships for $15 a piece. All that you need to do is write on your envelope flowers and include that donation. Or you can also click on the e-news link as well and sign up for those. With that stated, do we have any other announcements to share with our community today? Elliot. I'm going to grab this microphone here so that everybody can see or hear you. You're welcome.
So along with the Seminarians for Justice in today's sermon, I'm also a member of this group. And on November 5th, three Sundays from today, there is a public meeting in the South Loop. And you can see me for details about it afterwards. Kim Fox will be there, and the People's Lobby alongside Seminarians for Justice will be asking some yes or no questions to help kind of push the public narrative to a better place for anybody that is not being heard as much. So this is the goal of the meeting, and I hope to see you there. I'll be here all the Sundays before that, as well as that Sunday, so come talk to me.
Perfect. Thank you, Seminarian Elliot. Do we have any other announcements to share with our community today? Seeing none, then at this time I draw your attention to our growing closer giving campaign. So all throughout this this month of October, as we are preparing to gather information so we can create a responsible budget for 2018, believe it or not, that's right around the corner. Today we have a reflection from Ben, who is our council vice president, sharing a little bit about why he gives to Wicker Park Lutheran Church.
Good morning. So someone recently asked me, what do I do to live out my relationship with God in the world? And more specifically, I think he meant, what do I actually do at Wicker Park Lutheran Church to try to grow closer to God? So the question is actually pretty simple, but the way it was phrased, what do I do to grow closer to God, kind of took me aback. I mean, what do I do to grow closer to God? I answered that I serve on Wicker Park Lutheran Church's council as vice president, and I'm a member of the building committee here. I also regularly volunteer to serve during the service in one role or another. And after I went home, I thought about how I teach in an under-resourced community on Chicago's west side to try to help bring more opportunities to students there that might not otherwise have them. And I consider that a part of what I do to also try to live out my relationship with God and the world. But I still kept thinking about it. What do I do to grow closer to God? And like a good Lutheran, I knew that faith isn't all about doing good works to try to win God's favor. Rather, those good works are a response to God's love and grace that he's already given us. So recently, my wife Anna and I, we were asked to increase our financial support of Wicker Park Lutheran Church. And like Vicar Bridget mentioned this morning, we knew we had to say yes to that invitation. What we don't know and what we didn't know is where the money would come from, and frankly, we still don't know where the money's going to come from. But we do know where it's going. We do know that 100% of anything we give goes to anything we give to the Lutheran disaster response goes to the people on the ground who actually need it. I know that one of those bags of love that we created for the homeless around Chicago, it went to a man on the exit ramp of Sacramento and 290, and another one went to a woman at the corner of Sacramento and Chicago Avenue. I know, as Pastor Jason reminds us most weeks, that some of that money goes to feeding 75 hungry bellies in the Pilsen neighborhood once a month. I know that some of that money is going to help fix the organ so that we can help or that we can continue to enjoy that beautiful music that we enjoy every Sunday. And I know that there's a million other places in the world where that money goes to help do God's work in the world. So Anna and I still don't know where the extra money's coming from, but we do know where it's going. We know it's going where it's truly needed. So I would ask you to join my wife and me in increasing your financial support of Wicker Park Lutheran Church. It only takes 60 seconds to communicate your 2018 giving goal using the link in your e-news or one of those recent emails that you probably received. You can even communicate it right now if you want to. Actually, pull out your phone if you'd want, and use the link found on page 7 in your bulletin or in the insert that you'll also find in your bulletin today. If possible, we'd ask you to please respond today to help us save some costs by mailing the same information out to you later this week. However, if you do need more time, the campaign ends on October 31st. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ben. And so you'll notice the insert in your bulletin also gives you a brief overview of what the council is looking to do in 2018 and how we're looking to expand our budget. So I ask you to take some time to reflect on that giving, to look at where all of that money is going over this next year, and to discern. If I can be helpful in that process, or Ben, or anyone else from council as you reflect on that, please don't hesitate to reach out. We're here to help you kind of discern what that might look like. And so at this point, we move into our offering time here for 2017. We know that many of you have already given electronically throughout the month, throughout the week, and we thank you for those many gifts. And so here in this place, you also have the opportunity to give of your gifts into the offering plate. And if you've already given your gifts or you're giving them in the plate now, get a chance to reflect on what it's like to create this abundant feast, this table where no one is excluded, that we can just be a small glimpse of God's presence in this world. Get a chance to reflect on how those gifts help nurture not only Wicker Park, but how we are sent out into the world, across Chicago and across the globe, to be beacons of that light, that truth, and that hope in a world that needs it so deeply. And I invite you to rise as you are able. And this is the moment where any children who'd like to come forward, or even parents with small children, come on forward. Come on down. Don't be shy. Jack will. No? Nobody wants to take me up on the invitation? Well, that's kind of how it went in the whole gospel today, I guess, huh? Not that I'm comparing myself to Jesus. I want to be clear on that. Come on forward. Come on up over here. Come on down. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. It's like the Price is Right. Come on down. Come on up, Natalie. Anyone else want to join us? If you change your mind part of the way through, just come on up. It's going to be kind of a free-flowing feel today. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All right, can you join me in the prayer? We're going to put our hands out like this, if you're able. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this cup often in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. All right. Well, now gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, all are welcome to Christ's table. Thanks be to God.
One body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord. One body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one.
Please rise as you are able. As you go off into the world this day, receive a blessing from our God. May the God who created all things, the Christ who sets a table of grace, and the Spirit who empowers us to share God's love, encourage and guide you this day and every day. Amen.
Go in peace, remember the poor.